first of all, now just to grab some sound bites. So I'll use these sound bites to basically intro the episode, choose a funny one or something. That's what I usually do. Hello and welcome to episode 57 of Great Things with Great Tech. GTWGT is a podcast highlighting companies doing great things with great technology. My name is Anthony Spiteri. This is season 2023. Welcome everybody to season 2023. And in this episode, we're kicking off the year with a very pertinent topic, talking to a company that provides an open source password management solution that makes it easy, safe, and secure to store and share sensitive information amongst individuals, teams, and enterprises. They offer complete code transparency, regular security assessments, and a comprehensive review process for their code contributions. That company is Bitwarden, and I'm talking to Ryan Lewibrand, Senior Product Marketing Manager at Bitwarden. Welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be here.
Excellent. So what a way to kick off 2023 with a subject that is so, part of the narrative in terms of security, cybersecurity, and just general data in general, right? But before we get into everything password management protection, I just want to talk about Great Things with Great Tech. It's season 2023. As a reminder, if you do love Great Things with Great Tech and would like to feature in future episodes, you can click on the link in the show notes or go to GTWGT.com. Register your interest. As a reminder, again, we are distributed by Anchor FM across all podcast channels and also on YouTube at GTWGT Podcast. Go there, hit the subscribe button and keep up with all future episodes. Okay, with that, Ryan, let's talk about Bitwarden. I guess I'm really interested in getting just a bit of a background on the company, a company that was founded, not that long ago, but give us a little bit of a background about the how and the why of Bitwarden, why you guys are now a very, very successful company in the area of password security.
Yeah, so seven years, I guess that's a long time for technology companies these days, maybe, but it doesn't quite feel like that. Time has been a little bit strange since 2020.
It has.
but we started, we were founded by an idea. Our founder, Kyle Spearin, was using a password manager of his that was pretty well known in the marketplace, and looking around at the market and what that password manager was offering, he thought that he'd be able to do better. So he decided that he was going to get started and take up programming a password manager that could work not only for developers like him, but for individuals and businesses everywhere. And he started doing that in 2016, very beginning of 2016. And he released it to the open source community for the first time mid-year, around August. And he was completely overwhelmed by the support that he received. It seems as though he had found a perfect sweet spot in the market, which was something that was open source, secure, and basically just easy to be used and picked up.
Yeah.
So
I think, I was going to say, I think that's really interesting. So this is, again, innovation is, necessity is the heart of innovation and all that kind of saying. But so he really just wanted to solve a problem for himself. He wasn't happy with, the way that he was storing his own password. He wasn't happy with what was out there. And he decided he can do something better being a developer himself. He's put it as an open source, he's put it out there, and it's just been picked up by attrition, basically, right, in the open source community.
Yeah, is the huge groundswell of support was really the big thing that really is what got Bitwarden kickstarted and off the ground. And with all the innovation help from the community, it was really humbling. He says you can listen to some of his other interviews about it, but he was so overwhelmed by the support that he decided he was gonna kick it off and make that his full time work, and brought on our first person to help with customer support.
Yep.
And that was 2017, and I just really wanted to build this and realize the vision that he had for a password manager that was usable by all, that was fully transparent.
Yeah, so we'll touch on the open source elements as well. That's a very important part of, I think, what makes Bitwarden successful and open, and part of your transparency as well as part of that OSS community. So, but I just wanted to understand, when you guys started, it looks like from the history, it was an iOS and Android app with browser extensions into Chrome and Opera and all the kind of popular web browsers that are there. And that's kind of the basis for these password managers, right? It's some sort of plugin into a website or an application where you can effectively just store your passwords securely. That's kind of the premise of them, right? And in terms of you know, what makes a password manager? Because obviously back in the day, I would have used a spreadsheet, you know, Excel, whatever it might be, as my password manager. Obviously that's not going to be good enough today. But how did we get to that point? How did we get to the point in time where, you know, the founder's like, okay, I'm not happy with what's happening. I want to build my own purpose-built bit of software. And now I'm going to offer it as a service. And obviously there's other, we'll talk about other sort of products in the market as well. But how do you get to that point? How do we get to the point from a spreadsheet to a fully fledged company that's doing great?
Well, so if you think about, so I guess we can talk about, let's talk about passwords and password management in general. How many passwords do you think the average user reports that they have for websites?
Interesting question.
Just off the top of your head, I would say
100.
Yeah, about that. Like we've done surveys and we see probably about 150 passwords that, or rather accounts, websites. Now that should also hopefully mean 150 different passwords too. But it's,
I can tell you from my own experience, that is absolutely not the case.
Yeah, and so the human mind is pretty fallible. I thought that I was clever when I had a system with like a prefix, the mm-hmm. website or name or whatever I was doing, like insurance, and then a suffix. And I was like, oh, I could just do this for everything. I can guess my own password. And that only takes you so far. It takes just a couple of leaks. And back when Kyle was starting to work on this, really cybersecurity was, I wouldn't say like in its infancy, but it was becoming more mainstream, where people were aware of data breaches, and what was happening. And, you know, there's a lot of concern about that. And that basically started the rise of password managers into the public eye, where people have been, you know, thinking about how they could jump away from using password books, which honestly, password books aren't that insecure these days. And you know, going from Excel documents, text documents or whatever, and getting stuff into websites autofilled. And it's been a really interesting change of pace for passwords in general. Granted, there's going to be some future innovations with passwords, with passkeys and
yes.
passwordless logins and stuff, and that's exciting. But passwords are going to be around for quite some time, and you just really need to have a tool that makes random strong passwords for you for every account, saves mm-hmm. them into a spot where they're safe, and then can also just recall them for you automatically and fill them in so you don't have to try to type it, which is the hardest part.
Yeah.
Of,
it's almost like we've reached a point where we're passwordless as it is at the moment, if you do it right, because effectively you shouldn't really know any passwords. You shouldn't be able to, you know, unless you've got great minds. I remember back in the day, if you remember Windows keys that came with that software, like I would memorize those keys, right? But they also had a bit of a pattern, which made it easy to kind of, you know, recall in the mind. But a good password, you shouldn't actually be able to recall, right? That's kind of the basics of a good password.
That's right. And with current cracking hardware right now, it's usually recommended to have at least 16 characters completely randomized. I don't know if you can remember 16 randomized characters. You're probably smarter than I am, but I know I can't. I don't know the passwords to my financial institutions. And people, when I tell them that, they look at me like I'm crazy. It's like, no, I don't know it. I don't need to know it. Yeah. I don't want to have to know it. And, you know, it's actually quite a, it takes a lot of mental burden off. Like I only have enough room up here for some things. I can't try to remember passwords.
Yeah, that's interesting. But I think on the playing the devil's advocate there, I think a lot of people feel they're more in control if they know the passwords and if they can recall them quickly and efficiently to get to those services, especially the key ones, right? But therein lies the problem. I mean, if my mum, as an example, I bet you my mother has some really weak passwords based on maybe our birthdays or, you know, the grandkids' names or whatever it is, right? And it's just, number one, from the point of view of just being able to hack those or crack those easily, just from social engineering alone, that can be done, let alone a brute force type of attack, which, you know, again, with computing the way it's going, you know, where we're getting to a point where that's going to happen a lot quicker. So the more complex the passwords are, the better. How do you as a company fight that? I mean, it just seems like human nature is to basically take the easy path. And to me, having that sort of long, complex password goes against everything that we are as humans.
Yeah, it's a human nature really is the biggest challenge for cybersecurity. And people, like security researchers will tell you that all the time. I think I saw some data that it was 84% of all giant or most all reported hacks came through compromised logins, either through phishing or guest passwords or reused passwords, password sprays. It really is incredible the tools that all these malicious hackers have out there to crack into everything. And as a company, what you try to do at Bitwarden to help mitigate that is make it a little bit easier. So, firstly, it just not having to even think about the passwords, generate them and save them and autofill them. That really is the biggest value proposition there for passwords. But there's other things that you can do. So, for example, you could use password phrases, and there's some debate over how long a password phrase needs to be in order to be secure, but it's definitely a phrase is way more memorable because that's the type of people we are as humans. Like, we're not good at remembering random strings of characters, but we can form a story in our head with like 4 or 5 words. And sometimes you get some really hilarious things out of the Bitwarden generator that gives you the different words.
I haven't seen that. All I've generated is just the more complex passwords. Maybe I'll have to take a look at that and actually do turn it into a phrase. But it's interesting on those phrases. I think phrases got brought into the mainstream a lot through crypto and blockchain. Like, I think a lot of people know seed phrases and whatnot. And so I think the concept of the phrase is becoming more and more popular because of certain technologies like that. And I know for me, I can say it openly because I don't think people are going to guess my phrases, but I know for my crypto wallets, and which is pretty much my most critical bit of equipment that I've got out there, I use phrases as opposed to passwords. So it's kind of interesting how the psyche changes based on the technology and how we're interacting with them.
And basically, the easiest, the best way to combat the human nature about passwords is to really just make passwords not an obstacle anymore, and that's the whole purpose of a password manager is to just take the obstacle out of it. And even so, the only password you're really going to need to remember, if you do it right, we have a great presentation called the Triangle of Security on our website. So
Triangle.
check it
Okay,
out.
I'll link to that in the show notes.
But there's really two passwords that you should really need to know. And that is your primary email address that you use for your two-factor authentication, and for password reset emails, and then your password manager, master password.
Master
And
password.
you shouldn't put that email password in your you shouldn't rely on your password manager for that, because if you ever need to reset something or reset 2FA somewhere else, you can always access that account.
Is that the concept of zero knowledge architecture? Is it like what? Talk about that a little bit because we hear about that in the industry quite a bit. So, what is zero knowledge architecture in essence?
Sure. So zero knowledge architecture, we use, think about a post office. Now, it's probably not really a good example these days because post offices are X-raying your boxes. But let's say you write something down in a letter and you put it in an envelope and you seal it at your house and you put it in the mailbox, and the mail carrier comes and takes it away. In theory, the post office has no idea what's in that sealed envelope. I mean, obviously they might tell us, hey, it's a paper, and that could be like what you get from like a hash or something, but they don't know the contents of it. But they it gets mailed out, like it gets sent to somebody with a PO box. They might not know exactly who it is. The mail carrier may not, and it goes to that person, and they are able to open it up and then see the message themselves. And that is basically a really super simplified version of end-to-end encryption zero knowledge. And the encryption part of it really comes from the idea that if the post office were to somehow open up the envelope, what they see on that piece of paper is complete useless gibberish to them. So the way Bitwarden works is that everything is encrypted locally on your machine before it gets transmitted anywhere. So it Bitwarden hosts a Bitwarden cloud. And that's where your Bitwarden vault is, and the data is, and it really is just a blob of data that it's organized. So like somebody who might be able to look at it and be, oh, they have X amount of entries, but they wouldn't get any information from looking at that at all. And Bitwarden prides ourselves on having everything in the vault encrypted, whereas some password managers might have certain critical elements unencrypted. That's not sensitive in their eyes, but everything is encrypted, and it goes completely end to end for your vault. Now, the zero knowledge part is that the cipher, the what's needed to decrypt your vault is your master password, and Bitwarden never knows what your master password is. So
right.
we have no way to reset your password, because that master password is in part your cryptographic key. And we can't, we don't know it. There's no way for us to possibly know what your master password is.
Yeah. So let's actually dive into, you know, the now and today of, and, you know, kind of why it's relevant. Cause obviously we saw the LastPass incident happen last month, and that's caused a whole heap of people to look at alternatives. But I think, you know, in general, you guys are absolute targets for malicious intent, because they understand that you guys, even though it's encrypted or whatnot, you still hold a ton of data that could be used for bad and for evil and for malicious intent. If someone is able to crack, if you've got a weak master password, and then they know other elements of your login, as an example as to what happened, then they could spend time trying to crack that master password. And if they crack it, then they've got the keys to the kingdom, right? Which is your kingdom on a personal level. And then a business level, they've got organizational passwords, and it's a whole sort of Pandora's box of danger at that point. So is that element of the Bitwarden architecture what makes it sort of almost immune to an attack like that? Because I think that the reality is, breaches are going to happen. Like we've seen that, and we understand that, like, and we are almost resigned to the fact that breaches will happen. We hope it doesn't, but if it did, the Bitwarden architecture would mitigate against any breach, because it would effectively be useless information that they get.
Well, I don't want to say that anything is uncrackable. It's Bitwarden. If you look under the hood, Bitwarden uses an industry standard encryption method, AES CBC 256-bit encryption. It's, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel, and we actually consider that part of our innovative things, that we hold that course. We stay with the industry standard. So if the industry standards change, then our standards will change.
Absolutely,
as well.
Yeah.
But given enough time, in a situation where somebody had your encrypted vault and they had a powerful enough computer and you had a weak enough password, then you know there's always risk there. So what makes Bitwarden a little bit different, you can go to, we have an encryption and security white paper on our website. I highly recommend you go take a look at that and see how everything is done and how the master password and key is derived. But it's a combination of your master password that you enter, the username generates a salt that goes into it, the hash, there's an account key as well. And it really makes it pretty robust. And yes, the stronger the master password is, the better it is. And it, should the most unthinkable happen, ideally it would take someone several million years to break into your account, giving you plenty of time and warning to go and make the necessary changes in your defense.
Absolutely. That's cool. I think that kind of addresses it. I think bad things will happen. It's just about how you're set up to you know, come back from those bad things, right? So I think that's a big part of what it is, and we all have to be aware of that as individuals and businesses. So hey, I just wanted to talk on that and change focus a little bit to you guys and you know what makes you guys, you know, I think stand out in the industry. You've got the self-hosted and the hosted option, which is amazing. You can self-host with a Docker container, you can do a full Linux, Windows, Mac install. There's obviously pros and cons for them, but maybe let's start with the open source element, you know, and why that's important. And, you know, you you've got code reviews that are transparent. You mentioned transparency is super important for you guys. So how does that open source element to it, you know, give you guys an advantage when someone's comparing one solution to another?
Yeah. So if you think about it, if somebody came up to you and said, hey, you can go ahead and give me all your stuff, trust me, I've got a safe in my house, like, I'll take care of it, trust me, it's fine. Like, versus you being able to go into a bank and seeing their safe and safe deposit boxes and say, hey, can I take a look around? You take a look around, no problem. Which would you feel more comfortable with? And would it be like, oh yeah, don't worry, I got this safe, it's hidden in my house somewhere, you're never going to find it.
Yeah,
like that's security through obscurity. And while some people may look at that as an advantage, it may just be too much of a crutch. And to us, our transparency is a really big policy for us. We want to be transparent in everything that we do. All of our code is available for anybody to look at. And trust me, if somebody found a way to crack it, we would certainly have known by now.
Yeah.
And we have, like, as I had really talked about before, this groundswell of support of the open source community that we've had. All these security researchers, people who really care about security, are looking at this code and picking over every single thing that we do, submitting bug reports, just making sure that everything is as tight as possible. And that sort of transparency, just having the geniuses out there audit our stuff, like really is a huge strength to security.
No, absolutely. I think that endears a lot of confidence in the product as well. The fact that it is out there, nothing to hide, and is being picked apart, you know, you would think daily by someone. I mean, some of these guys would be, you know, thinking about it as a personal challenge to try and, you know, make Bitwarden, you know, a little bit weak or whatever it might be. And that's the nature of open source. They're trying to crack it themselves, but they're kind of the good guys. So you've got good guys working for you to make your software better, while the bad guys are trying to sort of, you know, effectively crack it for the bad purposes. So the fact that it's out there is quite cool, I think. And also the fact that, you know, that in itself endears yourself to the community. The fact that you've got this self-hosted version versus the, what was the background in allowing this dual stack approach to the product?
So the approach is, our founder's always been a proponent of open source. You find a lot of developers really are proponent of open source. And it was something that was really missing at the time when he was looking at the community. It was an open source password manager that wasn't fragmented, that had support of a dedicated team. And you know, that's where a lot of our value comes in, is the support and having professionals work on it rather than just a project that might be worked on by guys in their spare time. We have, you know, a full professional team dedicated to open source, and being a part of the community where people are able to contribute. So one of the things that we do is that we also take contributions from the community members.
Oh, right,
as well.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So they, you know, they might say, hey, I didn't like the way this UI element was working. Here's how I fixed it. And we actually had recently implemented a dark mode in the web application that came from a community pull request.
Wow. There you go. Everyone's going to have dark mode, right? Like, dark mode is super important and critical. It's, you know, it makes everything a lot safer. But no, but it's a really good example of something where, you know, you guys, you know, your core focus is one way, but then while that's important, it's not super important. So why not let the community, you know, do a contribution and get it in there? That's amazing.
Yeah, and this way too, like it's people are invested in the product as well. And you know, we have every month we have a vault hours, which is our version of an office hours, right? Where people can just come in and ask us questions. And actually, you're welcome to join us. We're having one. It's the last Friday of this month. Come and join us and
I'll
ask
link
us
to
the
that.
Hard questions. And
Friday of each month is when you have the vault hours. Okay, I'll definitely make a link in the show notes for that and get people on.
Yeah, you can find it at bitwarden.com/events. We have them there. And people try to stump us, and it's fun.
Look, I must admit, I'm not completely, you know, entrenched into that world, but on the periphery, I can tell it would be a really fiery and interesting sort of conversation. So, yeah, I read Reddit, so I know what goes on. I think as well, I just wanted to finish that point on the self-hosted part. Like, I know that's what I ended up going with. So I ended up going self-hosted. I deploy it on an Amazon Lightsail Linux VM, have a lot of control over, you know, what I can do, because that's me, because I love tinkering with technology. I think that speaks to a lot of people, and that's why we've seen, like, I had a Twitter thread talking about what, you know, password management tool to use, and Bitwarden came up constantly during a very popular thread because of that self-hosting element. So I think it's a big part of it. In your mind, what's the good versus bad of that? Like, of the self-hosted versus, you know, just doing and using it as a SaaS application effectively.
Yeah. Going back to open source. No, I'm kidding. I got derailed there when I was talking about, no, self-hosting. So self-hosting is very important. Not too many password managers allow you to self-host right now. I think there's only
exactly
a few.
Yeah.
And you know, as you said, you know, kings of the kingdom. And I mean, obviously we try to, we say here's how we do it. You don't need to trust us. We can host it on our cloud, no problem. We're Azure. We're based in the U.S. East Coast. We talk about that all the time. But that's not good enough for some people, like who have like really high security. Like imagine like Fortune 50 companies or federal agencies.
Yes.
They prefer to self-host. They have the capability to do so. So, some people even will air gap, you know, their password management solutions on a self-hosted instance. So. There's it's It's honestly a really popular we have a blog about like how to do a self-host, and it's one always constantly one of our most popular pages that we have.
Interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of demand for it, and it just seems like a no-brainer. I think the reason that you don't see it very commonly is that some people may imagine that it's difficult to monetize. We have a licensing system for it. Like, you just tell how many license you want, and you download a license file. But it's we work with those people. We've had some of the big companies with self host that we're self hosting give us feature requests, and we worked with them and their coders to write it out. But
Yeah.
the pros and cons of it, obviously, you don't have to trust a cloud. You can control your own data. You can keep it on your own network. You can put it behind, some people put it behind a reverse proxy, firewalls, anything you could possibly imagine. When you self host it, you have full control of the data. The challenge with that is that, with, so for example, as I said, Azure, where we host, we have pretty decent redundancy and uptime,
Yep.
which is, the benefit of having a big data center with several different systems and containers spooled up and instances running. So you really just need to think about like your own capabilities of keeping your own personal network secure, and making sure you have backups, and that you have the tech know-how to put it together. But like, if you look at the Bitwarden clients, which are the end devices, like the
Yeah.
desktop application, your mobile application, at the login screen, all you have to do is enter your address, and it will just all those will just work right away. It's not like you have to try and sideload anything. They're
Yeah,
all the
which
official
again is
support.
cool. I think a lot of the hardcore tech guys love having, being masters their own destiny a little bit to that extent. And you're right, there's a whole heap of reasons why, the hosted version isn't applicable for some industry, enterprise, government, whatever it might be. How do you, I'm trying to phrase this in the best way, if there is an issue, so say if someone's personal self-hosted vault gets breached in some way or gets compromised, how is that dealt with? Is it dealt with in the same way that it would be if the self-hosted one was breached or compromised, or is it one all in, there wouldn't be that situation? I'm just trying to think of like an absolute con in self-hosting. If something bad happened to that vault, someone got hold of the VM, got hold of the infrastructure that hosted, that instance, could anything go wrong in that way?
If somebody got the data file itself without the master password encryption key, it would be the same scenario as cloud. Like, there's nothing
Okay.
they'd be able to do with it without putting a lot of effort into it. If somebody got into your network and through, I don't know, like some sort of desktop sharing application, and managed to install some malware, man in the middle attack, like there's no defense against that sort of thing. So,
Which I guess is the
that's.
same, as hosted, right? Like if someone's in the middle of your transaction, they're going to read you putting in the master password key anyway. But then again, that limits it to an individual impact as opposed to a global impact of all customers, right?
That's right. And then basically, when I talked about security through obscurity before, about like
Sure.
keeping stuff,
I
well,
love
you're
that.
you,
It's good.
it's about your own obscurity. Like, how obscure are you, as a person, as an individual? Like, are hackers really going to care about you and what they can get out of you? You would have to be specifically targeted
Yeah,
for that.
and to a certain extent, hackers are fairly, well, the big time organized ones are efficient, right? They want to get the most for as little work possible. And an individual spending, weeks or months trying to crack one individual is not as efficient as trying to crack a platform that has hundreds of thousands of people's data on there, right?
And the biggest threat really is phishing, social engineering attacks. That's one reason Bitwarden makes sure that everything in your vault is encrypted when it goes up to the cloud, because the less information that someone can get a hold of in the event of a breach, the safer you are. That way, people aren't saying like, oh, this person has an account on this website and on this website. Let me try to engineer a way to get a hold of them with their email address. So it's, try not.
No,
Try to stay as secure as possible.
that's it. That comes down to, and I think in my world, I talk about, for example, in the backup world, you take a good backup, you can recover it. But then what will happen is, you know, you could still have some sort of weakness at the front of your network and then the back end of your network. So it's a holistic approach to security. It's, you can't just rely on a tool to, you know, feel safe. It's more than that. And I think it's the same with password managers, right? There's an end-to-end approach to it. There's education with end users, with your employers, with your family members, everything. So it's a total end-to-end approach to that. Just on individual and business impact. So you obviously have an individual focus and then a business focus as well. Just talk a little bit about why that's important to Bitwarden.
Yeah, well, Bitwarden has a big vision of, and it's a big vision. It's imagine a world where nobody gets hacked. You can find that on our website, and it's actually one of the reasons why password isn't in our name, because we're envisioning, you know, being more than just passwords and authentication. But we really want it to be available to everybody, and that's a big reason why we still have a fully featured free account. And everything could possibly need as a password manager is available to everybody in the world for free. And we're the only leading password manager that still has a fully featured free version, whereas some competitors have started don't offer them anymore, or have put limits on them so that really is not as useful. But we just want everybody to be secure everywhere on any device that they have. And that speaks to both individuals and businesses. Now, on the business side of things, what's really important for us is management. Self-hosting is really important for a lot of businesses. User management, we have this great trinity of users, groups, and collections. Collections being shared folders of passwords that you can assign access to for everyone. It's really incredibly scalable. And, you know, and enterprise policies where you can enforce certain security across the entire company, and offering other features like SSO integration and working with your SSO. We just really want it to be as easy as possible for people to be secure.
I think that's representative as well in the fact that I see the fact that, so in this industry, open source, sometimes people equate that with not really being functional, you know, enterprises or businesses, right? It's kind of there for the community, but certainly what you guys are doing is not that. You've got the individual element, which is important. We've talked about the hosted version that talks to the tinkerers and to the techies, but then, you know, from a business perspective, from an enterprise perspective, you've got to have more than that. I think that's reflective of your funding as well. So you're into your Series B funding in September 22. Which is very recent. You got 100 million in Series B. Get to basically, you know, help, you know, drive that next element to the company, right? So is that part of it as well? That, you know, part of that investment that you're getting is really leading itself to becoming more than just passwords, going beyond passwords. And I even noticed that you guys have got the file feature as well, so you can send encrypted data. Yeah. So that's something we haven't talked about, right? You're more than just passwords.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's expanding even more. And the funding you talk about was growth funding, really just helping us continue to grow the product and build new things. We're actually about to, you can find it on our website. We're talking about a beta for Secrets Manager, which would help developers be secure in their code, so they're not finding that they need to hard code in credentials or APIs into their code, and it can just,
that's cool.
Yeah, it could just,
which
call
is actually, to be fair, in almost, well, I won't say that everything, but majority of the big breaches that you hear, whether it be via an API endpoint or whatever, and when they get in, you see examples of the hackers opening a configuration file and there's the username and password, smack bang, hard coded in. So that's such a huge weak point in a lot of these attacks.
Yeah, especially if something was like never meant to be published, if it was just like, hey, this is just an internal file and it accidentally got added.
It's never
to
just internal. I think that's the big thing, right? Yeah. Now, these days, people have to consider the fact that anything that they have internal is potentially external as well.
So we're really focused on making sure that everybody is safe and secure in an end-to-end encrypted zero-knowledge format, which is really the core strength, is making sure everything stays zero-knowledge. And to thinking about what we are as a company and our focus on being completely transparent and hosting open source, it really is having the right product at the right time for all these companies that are looking for security with the value and vision of open source and security for everybody.
Yeah. And just touch on Bitwarden Send. How does that fit in?
So Bitwarden Send is very similar, totally end-to-end encryption. It's a really cool feature. It's available on all of our clients. But basically, you are able to upload a file to the Bitwarden servers. It gets completely encrypted before it goes up there.
Yeah.
And then you are given a link that includes the decryption key inside of it that you send to somebody through secure means. And then they are able to access, download, and then decrypt the file locally. So again, it's still end-to-end decryption. Yeah, it's really awesome. And you can also set up additional password security on top of it too. So you have to say, hey, my password's my last name, your social security number, whatever your security, not really great. But you can also set like how many times it can be accessed or read, how long it lasts.
Okay.
So it's a really great way to be secure in sending files to people. One of the examples I like to use is, let's say you're working at a big company and you're about to do a product announcement. Let's say you're Apple and you're like, hey, we're releasing the iPhone 28. Hey, can you guys over at this studio make us a commercial for it? Obviously, you would send the images to them through hopefully not email, so that they can access it without being without getting leaked or scooped or anything like that. So taking sensitive documents, encrypting them like that.
Are there any limitations on that in terms of size? Or
right now 500 megabytes.
500 megs. Okay.
500 megs. Yeah. So typically enough for pretty much anything except for maybe video files that people, and we're looking at possibly raising that. And everything's, if you want to go to our community, you can go ahead and look at our, we have community.bitwarden.com, view the forums, take a look at the different requests that are out there, vote for feature requests and see what gets added to the roadmap.
Awesome. That's cool. Hey, we're nearly out of time. I just want to finish off like I usually do. 2023 will be no different in terms of asking these questions. So I think the problem statement, we dealt with in at the start, that's pretty self-explanatory. But what are you guys going to do moving forward? And you touched on it a little bit, but what does Bitwarden look like in 3 or 4 or 5 years? How are you going to continually to innovate and disrupt the market? Because you've clearly already disrupted this market in a great way. So how are you going to continue that momentum moving forward?
Yeah, so the biggest disruption in the market, I think I've harped on it a little too much, is being open source. That's really the biggest thing.
It's important. Well,
And we're the only leading password manager that's open source with professional support. And I think that you're going to see more people do that. So there's less risk of source code getting leaked or, vulnerabilities being found like that. So to us, like that started us is still our disruption for the future. Finally, we really want to have the free version. We're always going to have a free version ready for everyone. Because as I said, our vision is password security for everybody in a world that nobody gets hacked. And you can't do that by putting like critical features behind a paywall. And so that's really important. And of course, being a fan favorite and serving the community and making sure we have a really happy user base that recommends us to other people, that takes Bitwarden to work. That really is our growth strategy and our marketplace disruption.
Brilliant. And I can say a lot of that worked on me because I'm now a customer. So there you go. So, that said, I was really great to talk to you about Bitwarden, about the company, the history, why you guys exist and, what you guys are doing in this market, which is super competitive. So, hey, Ryan, thanks for that. I'll just finish off by saying if you are subscribed or not subscribed and you're new to the show, and you'd like to hear more or feature on future episodes, go to gtwgt.com again. Again, please subscribe and like on any platform. Again, we're on all those major platforms for podcasting and YouTube. So with that, I'd like to thank Ryan and Bitwarden, and we will see you next time on Great Things with Great Tech.